Welcome to another episode of the Indiana Bible College Podcast. We've got a great show for you today. Christian Ramirez is going to be speaking to us on this subject, broken statistics. Christian has a really powerful personal testimony, and I know that you will be impacted by what he has to say. Before we get into the show, just want to remind you, we recently released our new album, Omnipotent. It is available on iTunes, Amazon. You can also purchase from voicevision.com. You just go to voicevision.com. You can purchase CDs, DVDs, PDF files, split tracks, multi-tracks if you want to perform these songs at your church. So you can do that at voicevision.com. I'll put a link to the website in the show notes so you can find it easily. You can also just call us and place an order if you'd like, 317-262-4030, and I will put that information in the show notes as well. We do want to thank everybody that has purchased the album so far. The day that it was launched on iTunes, we made it to number 3 on the Christian and Gospel charts on iTunes, so that was pretty cool. I want to say thanks to everybody who helped us with that. And if you haven't purchased the album yet, please go do that now. It's a great album. You'll be blessed by it, and you'll be helping the school. All right, on to today's show. Thanks for tuning in.
Verse 16 says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Verse 18 says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with a corruptible thing, as silver and gold, and from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Please pray for me that I get out of the way and the Lord steps in. In Jesus' name, Lord, just ask you, Lord, that you be here, God. Get me out of the way, oh God, and just speak to us. Speak to your people, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. In your name we ask. In Jesus' name. All right, you may be seated. All right, so today my title is going to be Broken Statistics. I couldn't come up with a title, so I just kind of picked something. Broken Statistics. So statistics, they're all over, right? I was reading an article about how Pentecostalism in Latin America is exploding, and in 79, the Catholic priests were saying that 20,000 people that were Catholics were leaving the church for Pentecost. That's back in 79. So now just imagine how much more have left since. All right? So, but we also hear, you know, the revival that's going on. And we hear one statistic from Brother Kilman. He said that when, and this hit me, this was last year, this hit me really hard. He said that out of his 3 friends, only one made it. And I have 2 of my best friends in here. And I don't want to fail. I don't want just one of us to make it. I want all of us to make it. So statistics might seem grim, I guess. They might seem harsh. And they apply to everybody, right? And they say, well, this is what we're expecting. But we're a generation that's going to break statistics. We're not a generation that's going to stick to the statistics. We're not backing down, all right? We are army. We are an army. Like Brother Rodenbusch says, we are a soldier. So that means that we have God as our leader. And I was, if we're an army, there's going to be some war, right? That's why the Bible says, hope to the end. That means there's going to be a process that we have to go through. And you all know this, but this is what I felt from God 2 weeks ago. So just bear with me. I was watching a documentary with Brent, my roommate, World War II, we were watching. And people from both sides, from the Allies and from the Axis, says that the cause was worthy. They would die, and they would send as many people as they had to win this war. And there was people who were veterans of the United States Army, and they said that they were considered, they didn't consider themselves the heroes after they came back from battles like, you know, what's the D-Day battle? Yes, I'm still learning World War II. So when they came back, they didn't consider themselves heroes. They said the ones that died are the heroes. We're just people who came back. So my pastor always taught me one thing. And that was right away, off the bat, when I started to come to church 6 years ago, he said to me, and this last week he said it again, we are not quitters. He taught me about Jesus. He taught me about everything I know. But he never taught me the definition of quit. Never. We don't know what quit is in our church. Jesus never, one time I was, you know how we get into a whole bunch of stress and life and blah, 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 and you start complaining, right? Well, I was in one of those complaining modes one day, and I was walking back and forth in my room all alone, and then I was like, Lord this, Lord that, Lord this, and God was just kind of like, he just said something, and I was kind of like, wait, what? You just talked? You know, I had to stop because I was like, wait, you actually talk? And to me, I mean, that's dumb, right? Because he does talk. But I was just walking. I wasn't even praying. I wasn't on my knees. And he just said, Jesus never said, it is too hard. He said, it is finished. That's what he said. So we need to quit that complaining. Like Brother Galleon said, we need to just endure it, right? I got some examples. A week and a half ago, my sister called me, and you guys know this. My sister called me, and she called me on the phone, weeping. I noticed right away that there was something wrong, and I was like, what's wrong? And she starts crying. She says, my life's a wreck. I need God to fix it. I need him to do it now. And she's crying and crying, and I said, You know the way, Michelle. She's like, I know, I'm trying to go to church. I'm trying to do this and that and live right. But it's not happening right away. It's like, I told her, well, yeah, there's something called patience. And you just kind of have to have it. And I talked to her for a while. And then there was a woman at Family Dollar yesterday where I work. Here's another example. She walks in and she just says to me, she starts telling me her life. I'm like, lady, I don't know you. You know? And she's like, my dad's dying of cancer, leukemia, and I just being here is going to take my mind off of him. And I started talking to her, and I said, you know something? I felt it. I just felt something in me. I was like, you know something? I come from a church where we pray. So I'm going to pray for your dad. I'm going to pray for you. And I guess I didn't pray for her right there, but I really wanted to, but she was kind of like, So I did it. So, but I felt something in me. I felt like she wanted something. She needed something. She almost broke down right there. And I didn't say anything. I just stood there and heard her life that I didn't want to hear. But I heard it anyway. So, and then there was another woman who came in, and she said that her husband had just had a heart attack, and she was buying stuff, and she was like a wreck. She was a wreck. She was like hairs everywhere, you know. It was bad. So she gets mad at one of my cashiers, and my cashier just, you know, gets mad back at her. But then I walk around, and I ask her, what's wrong? She starts crying. She says, my husband had a heart attack. And I said, well, I'll pray. And she automatically, her eyes opened really big. And she said, you pray? And I said, yes, we pray. So I said, so I'm going to pray for your husband. She came back last week, and she told me my husband's out of the hospital. So God's good, right? So now there's Danny and there's Toya, and Rustin knows them. These people work with us. They're cashiers there, right? And let's start with Toya. Toya had a really hard life. And she hadn't had somebody to tell her that she loved, that God loved her. She didn't have anybody to tell her, "I love you." Her dad passed away, and she had a terrible life. Men after man after man after man just robbed from her, took from her, and she didn't know what love was. And Easter Sunday, the morning, I felt like, you know, there's a place she really likes to eat food from. I'm going to go order something and give it to her and hand her a note. And I handed her a note and said, "I know you don't believe in God," because she doesn't, "but I just want to let you know, Happy Easter and Jesus loves you." And when I gave it to her, she started crying at the register. She just needed somebody to tell her that Jesus loved her. Danny is real messed up. And he told me yesterday, when I had like a serious conversation with him because we found out something was going on, he said, "I almost had a panic attack when you got serious." And I was like, "I'm not that scary." But I guess he thought I was. So he wouldn't come to church because he says, "I've been hurt in church. I haven't had a, you know, I haven't gone to a good place where they treat me like I'm supposed to be treated, that I agree with." And Rustin invited him to church. And he came to church, and the other day he told me, "I love that church, and I'm going to bring my dad and my brother." And he says he started listing people he was bringing. And so, you see, all of these people just needed somebody to stand in the gap, somebody to be firm, somebody to stay, to stand the ground, and not to give way, right? Now, I want to tell you a little bit about me. You guys probably already know my testimony. I really, you know, it's not because I want to look, be something or something, but I was in depression 6 years ago. I had thoughts to kill myself. I couldn't smile. It hurt to breathe because my heart was hurting so bad because my dad and because my mom split because I had no family. I had nobody to tell me, "I love you." Psychologists tried, doctors tried, my parents tried, and nothing. I'd cry myself to sleep every night. I had no hope until Jesus stepped in, until my pastor found me and said, "You should come to church with me." So I did. And then I got the Holy Ghost, and depression was just gone. From one day to the other, it was just gone. I've never felt depressed again. I don't know what it feels like to be depressed. I know what it feels like to be hurt by parents that don't want you in church, that want to take you out of church. I know what it feels like, how much it hurts when your brother and your sister tell you that you're not their brother anymore. The only thing that they haven't done is spit in my face. That's the only thing they haven't had. They haven't done. They've told me awful things. My mom in her bed when she was dying, the doctor said, turned her head from me and said, "I don't want to see you." On a Sunday morning. I know what it feels like to not have anybody to go home to and talk to them, to share faith with them. Because as soon as I start mentioning Jesus, they're like, "Mm-mm, we don't want to hear that. You've done your part, leave us alone." They've told me that. They said to me, "Leave your God. You want every other people to leave their idols, but you won't leave your God." And I said, "Because there's a difference between an idol and my God." So But I want to tell you one thing. And I'm almost done. The verse, 1 Peter 1, it also says that we have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And it says, verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The suffering that I've gone through following Jesus in these 6 years is much greater than the depression I was in without Jesus. But the depression, I had no hope. But this suffering, I have hope. And the Bible says it's a lively hope. All right? And there's this one song that I thought about when I got in church. The first time I heard it, I'm pretty sure I bawled my eyes out. It's an old song. It says, I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. That was me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love, but I'll never know just why he came to save me till someday I see his blessed face above. No one else, this is the chorus, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. I haven't had any other best friend but him. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Now, I said all this to challenge you. Are you going to stand in the gap? Or are you going to let those people like Toya, my sister, me, Danny, go to hell? Because if my pastor didn't stand in the gap, I wouldn't be here. So what are you going to do? Are you going to say, this is too hard, and throw in the towel? When you were clapping, I really wanted to say, don't clap if you don't believe this. I know what it is to live outside in the world. I know what it is to come from the world. And you who were born in the church, don't leave it. You have something that I wish I could have had when I was young. Younger, I guess I could say. And I know that we say, well, we're going to follow God and we're never going to leave him and everything. And I hope that's the case for me. I hope that I never leave my God, because I don't know what it is to live a life without the Holy Ghost. I don't know what it is to live a life without God, without church, without you, with the people of God. I don't know what it is, and I don't want to know. So that's all I have for you. That's what God wants from you. Will you serve him? Will you hang on? Will you fight? Will you endure? Or you just don't care.